Welcome to All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We all have things. Doesn't matter if we're married or single, if we have no children, or if we have 10. Things in life can be overwhelming, and sometimes we just don't know how to navigate them. So each week, you're going to hear stories of hope, of inspiration, and of people navigating the same things that you and I deal with day in and day out. Their stories may sound different than ours, or they may sound just like us. Either way, each week this podcast is going to pour into your heart with hope and encouragement. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome, friends. I'm so happy you have joined us today on the fourth episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. I'm Kristen Schindler. And today I welcome back my dear friend and high school bestie, Tiffany. And today we're going to analyze the various communication styles and how they can strengthen our relationships with family, with friends, and coworkers. And we're going to be diving in to communication styles based on the research done by Dr. David Merrill and his book, Personal Styles and Effective Performance. How can knowing our communication styles help our family dynamics, our personal relationships, and professional relationships? That's what we're going to dig in today with these topics, and we are so glad that you are here. Well, welcome, Tiffany. I'm so glad that you're back with me today. You made it past the first round of interviews. You're here, second episode.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me back.
Yes, it's always exciting. So last time that we were together, we weren't necessarily on the podcast talking about this, but you and I were talking about, and we've talked many times about the line of work you do using communication styles and helping with the people that you work with. But we've talked a lot about communication styles in our family relationships and personal relationships. You and I have shared many similarities with parenting or marriages and things like that, just when we're talking on everyday conversation. And I think it's fair to say that we all have been in situations when we feel that certain people are speaking our language. Like that's the phrase that, you know, people, oh, they're speaking our language in terms of really like getting us and communicating clearly. And when we deal with those people, it seems effortless. It's like we have a mental connection. It's just like this instant bond. And I feel like you and I have always had that kind of connection.
Oh, 100%.
But other times, no matter what I've done or what I've tried to say or do, there's just certain people that it's almost like we don't jive with them. Like, I know that's a really lame term, but that's just the word that came to my mind. It's hard. It's to feel that other person is really getting us. So I'm really interested in seeing what your communication style is compared to mine, because I think we'll be very similar, because you and I have always had fairly simple, effortless way of listening and hearing each other and really getting each other. So when did you first learn about this communication style assessment, and how do you use this in your line of work?
Sure. So to back up just a little bit, I think that, first and foremost, I've had a lot of passion just in general over my career, and you know what I do as an HR professional. So I've been in the HR space for about 17 years, and I would say probably the last 5 to 6 years, there's been a really core emphasis in kind of more of the coaching. So really working specifically with leaders in the organization. And most notably, this last couple of years, I've transitioned into the physician space. So I act largely as a coach to the leaders and physicians and physician leaders in helping them when things have kind of gone sideways. And typically when they've gone sideways or they're in a state of conflict, It's due to the brass tacks of communication. And so when I first discovered this tool, I mean, there's a ton of them out there, right? There's all different kinds of assessments. I mean, you literally could just go in and just in the world of technology now, you could go in and Google and there's a million of them out there. So, you know, this particular one that I landed on, I really was tasked with looking at something that I could utilize in a facilitation space that was simple and relatable and something that people could start digesting in a way that they could actually apply. Because the whole goal of the trainings that I do and the work that I do is for them to be able to apply this one day themselves. And if you overcomplicate it, people, they just can't, they can't remember it. people that are struggling with communication, there's all degrees, right? But when I come in, it's usually because it's not, these things are not natural for them. So if you hand someone something super complicated, you can almost rest assured that they're just going to be like, they're going to throw in the towel and say, this is too hard. So I just want to kind of start there and say that this particular one for me came as I was developing a leadership training program. And it really was something that I found was digestible and something that I felt that I would be able to really storytell and create kind of some fun around it so that people would remember it and be able to apply it. So that's where it started for me. And that was, gosh, I don't know, four or five years ago now, that I first stumbled upon this.
Well, I think it's fascinating. And, you know, we talked about last episode about our love languages, like how we feel loved. And what I think is interesting is piggybacking the communication styles after talking about the love languages, even though what you do primarily using this in a workspace, it's been fascinating for me to take the quiz, which is very simple. It's the one that you sent me is not an online quiz. It was a PDF, which I'll make sure is in the link on my website for other people who want to download it and try it. It's only 18 questions. It's very simple. And you know, very straightforward. But what I thought was interesting is looking at my communication style, and I did not have my son take it because most of these questions were based in the workplace. But I'm sure we could find something that would be similar, that would be more for geared for teens or something like that. But I thought it would be really interesting. Now, I never took one of these when I was in the professional workspace. And I think as an educator, one of these types of assessments would have been really useful in terms of dealing with coworkers and a professional development type of setting. I think it would be really beneficial. And I never did one of these when I was in the years of professional development. So I'm just going to plug that for anybody who is going to be doing leadership training, because I found it highly engaging and just really thought provoking. So you use this in your leadership training. When you do this, do you go over the four basic communication styles first, or do you have them take the quiz and then talk about the communication styles? How do you normally have them use this assessment?
So you can use this in so many ways. And you know, while the purpose of when I stumbled upon this was really around helping, I really knew that this was going to be geared towards leaders and helping them communicate more effectively with their teams, and understand how their teams communicate different than them, just to really help improve engagement. However, as we talk a little bit more about this today, you know, you and the listeners will find that I really will share with you some pretty basic elements of starting to get closer to understanding people within these four quadrants. And so I do it a little differently now. So, you know, when I do the leadership training, that's a 3-day training. So any of the leaders, new leaders, or existing leaders that haven't been able to go through this training in our organization, they'll go through this 3-day workshop with me. And in advance of that, I provide them with a number of things related to pre-work. So I also do, I also assess conflict style, because conflict style also ties into, you know, triggers and the way people hear things and the way people will respond to things and the way that our communication styles will show up. So I also go into conflict styles with the leaders. But I have a number of things that I give them for pre-work. So when they come to my class, they have already completed their pre-work. Well, most of them. and then we kind of ease into this. When I'm coaching people, so when I get a phone call from a physician leader that says, this physician, you know, we're having a number of issues with them. We're kind of at the place where things are not going well and needs to turn around. I will start with giving assessment just so that I can get a baseline of how they see the world. Because if I can understand kind of where they land in that space. And just to be fair, we use all four of these, right? And I'll talk a little bit more about that. So this is not intended to label people. This is really just to understand when all things are good and people are in their natural state of communication, they have one, really their top two that they grab. This is like their cozy spot, right? Where you're like laying in a hammock, the sun's just right, the wind's just right, and you just feel cozy and good. And that's their natural state. So when you understand that piece of it, you can start peeling back areas where they might step in it, and you can start giving people tools to actually be mindful of things and start working towards, you know, adjusting or tweaking little things that are kind of causing them some. So I kind of use it in two different ways. But I always start with giving people the assessment, and you'll see in the assessment that I've also attached kind of a summary of the styles, so that when people take the assessment, they're not going, well, what does this mean? And there's, you know, anxiety around it. They can have a general idea, and then I will do a deeper dive with them and help them, you know, kind of relate examples and places where they might want to be mindful of overusing a particular strength in their communication.
So the four basic communication styles that are in this assessment are, the first one is called the driver. The second one is called the analytical. The third one is called the expressive. And the fourth one is called the amiable. So can you tell us a little bit about, and in the leader, you know, you do this for leadership training, but I think about it as like the leaders in your house, like husband and wife, partners, people who are leading the ship, getting the work done. And that's how I was thinking of how this can be used in a family dynamic too. But so what is, you know, who is the driver? Like, what is this kind of person look like, their communication style?
Sure. And things of you're that 100% nature. Correct. These are transferable. So once we talk a little bit about them, the people listening right now are going to go, oh, I get it now. They're going to go, right? My mom is this, my husband's this, right? There's going to be things that are going to create for people this aha moment. I trained hundreds of people on this tool, and I can tell you people, there's a light that comes on for people. So let me back up just a little bit and start with a foundation that I think will be very helpful for your listeners. So there really are two keys in understanding people as it relates to the way they see the world and the way that they communicate about it, right? And those two buckets are assertiveness and responsiveness. So again, assertiveness, responsiveness. Assertiveness, most of us can think about characteristics of assertive communicators, right? So assertive communicators, maybe they gesture more, they're more vigorously, they talk with their hands, right? They're big on eye contact, they're high energy speakers, they maybe speak more often. They can be more direct and forceful. They tend to address problems quickly. They can exhibit risk-oriented behaviors, right? So those are some characteristics of assertive communicators. Less assertive communicators then would be kind of the opposite of that, right? Those are your people who generally communicate more softly, less rapidly. Maybe they're more deliberate in their speech. They don't have this intense, like, lock-in eye contact. They take a little bit more time to arrive at decisions. You know, assertive communicators lean in, less assertive lean back. So less assertive communicators do not want to be pressured in making decisions. They're typically less confrontational. They can shut down if they feel overwhelmed by the conversation or they're pressed to make a decision on the spot. And the reason that this is important is going to tie into those four quadrants. So again, I'm going to repeat this. Two buckets, right? Assertiveness and responsiveness. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about more and less assertive communicators. So let's talk about responsiveness. Responsiveness is not how quickly people answer emails or text messages, right? Responsiveness in communication is a person's level or degree of which they can see others as showing emotion and they demonstrate awareness of the feelings of others. So a person's level of responsiveness, again, is the degree to which they are seeing others' emotion and demonstrating the awareness of the feelings of others, showing that they're like, oh, I see you. I get you. And I see that your face is changing. I see that you don't like what I just said, or I see that you like what I said, right? So more responsive people express feelings more openly, more friendly. They are more vocal in their inflection. They're like really animated. Or they can soften based on, they adapt based on the person that's in front of them or the audience that's in front of them. Less responsive people, they are the people that tend to prefer working alone. They're very strong in the task-oriented space. They really thrive in that. They're more structured in the use of their time. They're a bit more reserved, and they are less disclosing of their feelings, particularly in the workspace. People that are less responsive, they don't feel that kind of emotion piece is appropriate in the workplace. So again, two buckets to understanding how people communicate about the world: assertiveness. So we'll kind of start there. So remember, I'm trying to help you identify key elements when you're looking at how people communicate. This could be if you're having an exchange with someone. So those of your listeners that are listening right now who are in a workforce, maybe they're having a really difficult time getting along with a coworker. They're like, why in the world can we? I like this person, but I can't seem to speak the same language, right? So when you're having an exchange with someone, you can start to go, ooh, you are an assertive talker. You're a little bit more reserved, right? And maybe you seem completely out of touch with how your words are impacting other people, or you are definitely plugged in. Those are things that you can see if you're paying attention. So that's a really important point. Why this matters is because your analytics, so let's talk a little bit about assertiveness, okay? Assertiveness is our first bucket. The reason that this is an important foundation for me to share with you and your listeners is the assertiveness quadrant, if you will, right? So highly assertive communicators are your expressives and your drivers. Highly assertive communicators. Your less assertive communicators are your analytics and your amiables. Okay, those are those people, again, that are going to be a little bit more, they take a step back, they need to really analyze and think about things. So let's talk about responsiveness. Your highly responsive people, those communicators that are, they make adjustments in their communication. They are very plugged in. So I could be teaching to a class of 50 people, and I will notice the one person on their cell phone. I will notice the one person that I, or two or three people that they're not clear on what I've just said, I recognize it and I adapt. The more responsive communicators are your amiables and your expressives. They're very plugged in to emotion, and they recognize that piece with people. Your less responsive people, the people that they're not always plugged into that, are your analytical drivers. So those people that communicate generally in an analytical or driver space, they're not always as plugged in to, oh, I think I just said something that offended you, right? So
that's really interesting. I just want to pause you for a minute there, because that's when you were talking about that, I was thinking about my husband and I, and how I can notice when he says something to the children, or if he tells me, like the other day, he asked my son, my oldest son, to cut the grass and to do a chore outside. And my oldest son is, you know, always willing to do that. And my husband told me, oh, he did a really good job, you know, doing, you know, whatever he needed to do, cut the grass, clean out the window wells. And I said, now, did you tell him that he did a really good job? And he did. He said, yes, I did. But I know that sometimes the way that he will say something, he doesn't always see the facial reactions or, you know, the way that it's, and so I will have to come, I will actually, you know, have conversation with him separately, never, you know, in front of the children. But, you know, I'll say, you know, you might want to say such and such, because I noticed that, you know, I don't think that that got through to them, or I don't think it was received the way you think it was received. Maybe you need to have a little bit more discussion there. And that's just something, as we've been parenting older children and now teenagers, just kind of reading the room, if you will. That's kind of what I was thinking about when you were saying you could read, you know, excuse me, the people who, you know, are on the cell phone or whatever. Or I, as a teacher, like I would see the deer in the headlights, and they were like, I have no idea what you just said. And they're looking around for clue birds to drop some clue, because they're like, I have no idea what that person just said. But anyway, so yes, I totally get that, reading the emotional responses of others. So go ahead and continue. I just wanted to mention that as we dive into the styles, I'll
create some relatable examples. And again, you know, those folks that are listening right now are, as I go through this, I mean, pictures of people are just going to pop in people's mind. It naturally, this is the result of this tool, which is so powerful. It really does. Who we are is how we communicate. And just from a, you know, especially those people that are listening to this right now, number one, they support you, but bigger than that, they want to understand. So just that alone, I mean, basic human instinct for the most part is we want to be understood and we want to understand others, right? We want things to work. And this tool really helps people make kind of that connection, like, oh, okay, I get it now, right? So when we talk about, let's talk a little bit about the styles, and let's start with the good stuff, right? Let's start with the stuff like the bragging rights that we like to have about our own style. Like whenever I do this presentation, it's great because you see people kind of like reposition themselves in their chair, you know, they're sitting up straighter and they're like, oh yeah. Like they have a little bit of swag when I talk about this particular, I have a slide that I show. So when I talk about the particular slide and they see it, it's people are really proud. So let's talk about the good stuff. So your analytical communicators. Now, remember, this is not a personality assessment, right? So they've got Myers-Briggs. There's a ton of them out there. Analytical communicators are your detail-oriented people. These people are, for me, and I'll tell you what my style is once we go through these people are invaluable to me. And I'll tell you why once we move a little further along. Your analytical communicators are logical. They're systematic. They're prudent beings. They do not like to mix personal feelings with their professional life. They're very good at this really objective style of communication, zeroing in on the facts. They don't like to be, you know, bogged down with a lot of emotion. They don't, remember, your analytics are less responsive. They don't plug in well to communication, and they don't think it's practical. It's not because they don't care. That's a very big distinction. They just don't, it's not practical for purposes of effective communication in their mind. Your drivers are your task-oriented people. These are your listers, right? These are your people who, they make a list about everything, and they get a lot of satisfaction of checking things off the list. And they're very focused on getting things done. And so that makes them efficient. They're efficient. They're decisive. They don't spend a lot of time lollygagging, right? They're pragmatic. They're doers. They are definitely solvers, right? So this might be a communicator. You run up against a driver communicator. Now, again, your drivers, remember, they are low responsive, high assertive. Okay. And I don't think I said the, with the analyticals, just to refresh, analyticals are low responsive and low assertive, low responsive, low assertive. That doesn't mean that they can't handle conflict. That just means that they don't like it. And, they don't always do it well. And we'll talk more about why. Drivers are high assertive, low responsive. So what that means is they're very busy getting things done, do, but they're so focused on that. And because they're not responsive, they may not see that they're literally driving right over somebody. So the drivers are your task-oriented folks. Your amiables, those are considered your people-oriented. Those are your people, right? The way they communicate is all about support. They're very cooperative. They're usually highly diplomatic in the way that they speak. They're patient in their communication. They're very loyal. They're typically, these are your motivators, right? These are kind of your motivational type communicators. They're very persuasive because they're just a high level of credibility and diplomacy in the way they communicate. And for an amiable communicator, it's important to them. They lack the ability not to do this, and they're super uncomfortable when they cannot mix emotions with the work, right? So your amiable space are going to talk about, this doesn't feel right. This is, what about the people, right? This is your amiable communicator. Your expressives, these are big personalities. These are your big picture people. You're drawn to an expressive communicator. They're super enthusiastic. They're outgoing. They're spontaneous. They're seen as very fun loving. They're also that person that is supportive and intuitive and is a counselor to people, is very good at giving advice and comfortable giving it. And they do not lack creativity, right? People love working with expressive communicators. There's just this charismatic way about them. So let's back up a little bit. So your amiables then, thinking about our responsive and right, our responsiveness, assertiveness. Amiables tend to be very, very responsive. They're people, right? They pay attention. It matters to them. They are, however, less assertive generally. That's not their go-to. They can do it, right? But they don't like it. They don't love it. Because why? They're diplomats. They're supportive and cooperative, and they want everyone to be happy. And so your expressives are, again, these are big personalities, high responsive, high assertiveness. Okay. So this is why this really matters, because people might notice our strengths and our communication, but what really gets us in hot water is our weaknesses, right? That's why we're having this conversation, right? Analytics, remember, these are your low responsive, low assertive folks, right? Analytic communicators can be seen as impersonal, nitpicky, because remember, they're perfectionists, right? They want things to be right and exacting. Remember when you told us on the last podcast, or maybe it was just you and I having a conversation, it's hard to remember, but remember the story about the moldy laundry? So we'll get... we'll come back to that.
That was on the last podcast.
That
yes.
is impossible for Eric to not focus on, because he wants it to be right. Right. And so he can come across as a little nitpicky. And and the interesting thing
just
about analytics and analytic communicators and why this works well in understanding it. And, you know, I'm in the workspace. This is helpful for me, but it's also in real life. Analytical communicators may have a very hard time with amiables and expressives. More on that in just a moment as we talk about your communication style. So,
oh, doggy.
And so,
lay all the cards down on the table, sister.
Right? Drivers are not out. Collaborators in their communication style, because look, people, they have got to get things done. They don't got time to talk about warm, fuzzy stuff. They don't have time to because. Question. So they're not very good at, they've already got figured out. So whatever you have to say is wasting their time and making it more difficult for them to get their list checked off, right? So they're not great. They can be poor collaborators, not always, but remember, we're talking about when you're like, what went wrong here? You have to understand where your pitfalls are in order to like first start with self-accountability. So in any conflict, the first thing that you should be doing is looking about what perhaps did I do in that scenario, and think about where your pitfalls are, and think about, right, this is how you start developing tools. So drivers are, they can be abrasive in their communication style. They can get caught up in facts, and they get frustrated when things seem disorganized. It really frustrates them if you're communicating with a driver and you come in and you're kind of pontificating about things that they don't care about. They just want you to get to the brass tacks, right? But the thing with a driving communicator is it might take them a minute to see it, but they will benefit from working with and partnering with somebody who is more amiable or expressive in their communication style. So if they're having difficulties in their communication, you would want to kind of say, hey, you might want to spend some time with this person, or, hey, I'm in an amiable, I might be able to help you with kind of softening this a little bit. So I'll share just a quick example, and this is work related, but I'll share with you my husband as well a little bit later when we talk about that. But for instance, my boss is a driver. My boss is a list maker and God love her. I love that about her. But the thing I love most about her is she recognizes that she is not always a great collaborator, and she's not always a person that thinks about people. And she knows that she has a person who does on her team, and she values that. So the person that she knows is an amiable on her team is me. So when she feels that she's going too fast, she reaches out to me and says, hey, can I bounce this off of you? This is how I'm kind of trying to do this. So recognizing where your pitfalls are can become one of your greatest strengths. And then just, you don't have to do it at everything. It's helpful to understand where your pitfalls are. Embrace how you naturally communicate, make small adjustments where you can, but more importantly, lean on the people who are better at it than you. That's the beauty of this tool. So let's talk about amiables, right? Amiables sound very favorable to people. Amiables like, man, usually classes. Gosh, I wish I was an amiable or expressive, right? Well, yes and no, right? All of these communication styles have strengths, all of them. They're all good. Whatever you are, it's a good one. I just want to say that to all of you listening. Amiable communicators can be inattentive to task. They can be permissive of bad behavior, especially in personal life, because they value the relationship, that they just want everything to be okay, right? So they can be a conflict avoider. And in the work environment, or even in home life, they can create disruption, particularly depending on the dynamic of how others in the family communicate, if they're too focused on emotion and feeling. So think about this in your personal life, right? If you, maybe you have a family member that just seems to get pretty annoyed with you. Like when you're talking, it's like, God, this person clearly, it could be an in-law, it could be your parent, it could be a sibling. Like, oh my gosh, you just are always focused on, you want to have like a 3-hour conversation, right? And they seem to get annoyed with you. You can take that personal if you're an amiable communicator. I'm an amiable communicator. So before I started really wrapping my head around this stuff, one, I would take things personal. Like, oh, this person does not like me. No, I just am not speaking their language and they're uncomfortable and they don't know how to deal with it, right? So your expressive communicators, remember, those are like our, those are our big personalities, mm-hmm. right? Everybody loves the expressive communicator. But let me tell you a little bit about expressive communicators. They also can be impractical. They can be distracting because they're so like a lot. They may not always pay attention to the fine lines and details. And they can be impatient. Expressives can be impatient. So let me tell you about an expressive. Remember, expressives are highly assertive. And so everyone's like, oh gosh, they're like, the expressive communicators are like Miss Congenialities, Mr. and Mr., you know, Congenialities. But let me tell you about the assertive piece is real, because if you attack an expressive, oh, they'll attack back. And then they're super comfortable in that space. So I think now would be a good time to pause and kind of share what your communication style is with your listeners, and we can kind of start there.
Okay, so let's put the slides on that look really nice. Can we back up and put those slides on for your viewing pleasure? So my results, just to be fair, you know, like I said, you have, you know, you have questions that will be driver answers, or, you know, depending on the situation. So I had, you know, ones in all four categories, but my highest was expressive.
Yes.
And my second highest was amiable, and they were really close, like 7 and 6. I mean, they were like super, super close. And I see myself in everything that you're talking about. But I also, know that some of the things that I've read talk about those kind of communicator styles are always looking like, oh, this, look at this, this is really cool. And look at this, this is really cool. And that has been something I've struggled with, like having all of these things, hence the title of the book, All the Things. It's pretty self-explanatory there, that kind of all those plates that you're spinning, and they all seem like great plates that have, you know, benefits, and they're positive, and they can be blessings for, you know, different things. But for my husband, who is the exact opposite of me, like can't be any more opposite. He is an analytical, and then he is a driver. And so like you were talking about lists, you know, which I do make lists for the grocery store, but then a lot of times I just know what I need in my head. But you know, he's like, let's make a list of what we need. And, you know, and most of the time that's very helpful, but other times I'm like, just wing it. You know, let's just go to the store and get what we need. You know, that would not fly. That's not going to work.
I'm decently good at, again, not to label, but I'm decently good at identifying people's styles. So I already knew what yours were. And I don't mean that in a humble brag.
Of course you did. That's why you're so good at what you do.
We've known each other for 34 years. And this is, you know, clearly I didn't know exactly what your scores would roll out to be, but I had a very high degree of feeling you were an expressive, and I knew you were either an expressive amiable or an amiable expressive, just by understanding how you see the world, right? And I pay attention. So you're an expressive amiable. I am an amiable expressive. And my husband is an analytical driver, just like Eric. So
and we've said often, I think we may be married to the same person, although we live in different states and they don't look anything alike.
When I first started doing these trainings, they might be the same person. I was so humbly overwhelmed by the degree of impact that it had on people's lives. I remember having a woman in my class, it was one of my larger classes, 65 people, and she came up to me during the break and she was tearful and she said to me, "Thank you so much. You just helped me understand my husband." They had been going through a tremendous amount of turmoil. They just couldn't see eye to eye. They weren't speaking the same language. And this, for her, you could see kind of this desperation in her. But when you think about conflict, I want you to think kind of just those of you who are very visual, or those of you, you know, who need to write it down, just I want you to think about conflict in a circle. So think about, you know, even write it out. If you're listening to this right now, put a circle on your paper, put conflict in the middle of that. And then on the outside of that circle, you've got kind of this, kind of looks like a planetary picture, right? You've got these things kind of rotating around conflict. And what's rotating on the outside of conflict are four things: perception, assumption, tone, and ego, right? It's not what we say, it's how we say it. Right? It's the old adage. So conflict in the center. So when you're in conflict, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to say to yourself, okay, what bucket did this just hit? So I have these boots that I wear. Stories really help people relate. So I have these boots that I wear. I've had them for like 10 years. And my husband is very good about, right? He's an analytical driver. He pays attention to details. So he's super, you know, he's the person that I could come up in the morning and he'll be like, "Ooh, I love that belt. That's a nice splash of color," right? Or those earrings look, he's really good at that. These boots that I wear, I would come up every day and he'd be like, "Oh, you've got your Tomb Raider boots on. Oh, you've got your Tomb Raider boots on." And I'm like, "What does that mean?" Right? Because I'm an amiable, right? Does that mean that you like my boots or, right? And so I would go to work, right? And then about the third time he did this, I lost it. I was like, "So, I mean, do you hate these boots? Do these boots look stupid?" And he was like, "What?" He was like I was in, you know, I had like a third. He's like, "No, you look badass in those boots." I was like, "Well, can you just say that then, right? Can you?" So I created this conflict in myself because what, right? Remember, around conflict are perception, assumption, tone, and ego. So if you're feeling conflict with someone, right? And everybody feels it differently. You might feel warm, right? Your heartbeat goes up, right? I have a little vein in my neck that pulsates and I'm like, "Oh yeah, conflict triggered. Where is it coming from?" Think about where it's coming from. Are you perceiving something? Are you assuming something? Mm-hmm. Is your ego a little bruised because you've got your feelings hurt? Or was it the tone? Think first there. Start there. Get yourself level and think about where it's coming from. So then you can go, okay, I'm making a lot of assumptions here. So let me ask some questions. And then that's where you take how, like, for instance, with you and Eric, right? So if you hear something, it's like, "Ooh, that I'm getting warm right now." And I know you like, "Okay, uh-huh. I'm getting a little warm here. My heart's going a little faster." And you can say to yourself, what is going on with me, right? So you were sharing with me earlier, you know, the door slamming over and over because you turned your attic fan on, right? So you're like, I am getting annoyed right now and I'm about to blow a gasket on my kids. Why? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because I'm assuming right now that they just could care less that everyone's trying to go to sleep right now. And they're just willy-nilly slamming the door, right? You were making some assumptions, right? And so your perception is that your kids just didn't care, right? Ava just didn't care. She just was slamming the door left and right. And so what happened is your expressive came
didn't
out to
give
play,
a rat.
Right? Because expressive
didn't give
is
a rat.
Your natural state.
Nope.
So you're like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to address this head on." And what did you do? What did you do?
I went right in there.
Did you?
Oh, it wasn't pretty, sister. It was not pretty.
That's right.
And then her right? tone came out, so, and I didn't like that.
So the conflict circle is really important for us. Remember, it's perception, assumption, tone, and ego, right? Where is the conflict coming from? So you gotta take what's called, like in the meditation world, it's called the sacred pause. So whenever you're feeling that trigger of conflict, right, listen to yourself and take a sacred pause and go, okay, I'm going to think about like this celestial picture that Tiffany talked about. Why am I getting annoyed, right? And then from there, you can kind of go, okay, slow down, sister, right? Slow down. And then you can start.
I need one of those buttons. I need a button. I need a sacred pause button. If we actually had a television show, I would be able to sacred pause the situation in the midst of chaos and everything would be tranquil. People would be like, you know, using fans on me. And I'd be like, okay, I'm all right now. Now I may navigate this space and not lose it.
It's the small tweaks, right? So when we talk about,
at 12:30 in the morning,
you and Eric,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So the way that you like to communicate, because express it again, we're talking about your natural state. So everybody listening to this, you use all of these. So obviously I'm not, you know, I don't have high driver or high analytics, but I'm an analytical, I can communicate analytically. I'm in HR. I definitely can do that. Right. So just like I told you that there are people like, oh man, the amiables and expressive sound awesome, right? Well, all the people that are amiable and expressive are like, well, wait a minute, I get things done. Right? So people naturally, so just, I want to reinforce that you use all of these. So what we're really talking about is your natural state, right? So think about yourself either on a hammock, wind's just right, or you're in a cozy blanket on a cold day with a nice cup of tea or cocoa or whatever you like to drink, right? So these are your natural states. So you're going to have role adaptations that you have. The way that you communicate, you know, Kristen, with your mom and your dad and your brother and your sister-in-law and your husband and your kids, those are all role adaptations. You will make small tweaks in the way that you communicate, right? The way you communicate with me. So you will dump into those spaces, you know, periodically. However, your sweet spot is an expressive communicator. That's your sweet spot. So you like to balance fun and objectivity. You want to be more general than like, let's not get caught up in all the details. It's really important for you to make small talk. So you're a person that naturally will say, even in a work setting, I imagine that when you were in the work setting, you probably were the person, if I had to guess, that knew people's kids' names, knew what people did over the weekend, you knew what people's hobbies were. You are a small talker. So before you dive into work, you got to make sure people, you want to see how everyone's doing. Hey, how was your week? Right? Right or wrong? Right?
Yep.
Yeah. And you want to, you kind of want to
check. Yes. Check. Yes. Check. Double check. Yes.
100%.
I didn't even talk to the mailman.
And you
I didn't talk to
like
the mailman.
To paraphrase agreement.
Person walking the
so
dog.
You're also
I've never
a person.
Seen before.
Let's say that you are, you know, you're in a situation. It could be at work. It could be at home. It will be a little bit of a rub for you as a communicator when you feel like people are tick-tacky, nitpicky about every single detail of a conversation. You're like, yeah, this feels weird. Like, yeah, generally we agreed to this. Okay, let's move on. Right. So my husband is an analytic communicator too. And legitimately, I get to a place because I'm an amiable. So I have a little bit more patience than you do. You have amiable, but I can be a quiet for a little longer. And then my expressive's like, okay, I've had enough. And that's when I feel like my husband is repeating the same point over and over again to check the boxes and get nitpicky because he's an analytic driver. He's got to make sure that he's said it like 15 different ways. And then I'm like, yeah, I got it. I got it the first 14 times, right? So
he's making sure that that horse is dead, dead, dead.
Sacred pause button, right? And there's, you know, hey, is the laundry down there getting all moldy, right? You're like, oh, no, you did not, right? That's the first thing. That's what happens with you. Oh, no, you didn't. And you need to do sacred pause button and go, okay, why did that bother me? Okay. But then when you come back to him, you can appeal to his natural state, which is an analytic. He's naturally an analytic communicator. He kind of vacillates between analytic and driver, but his sweet spot's analytic, right? He's very focused on logic details. He doesn't want people to overstate the benefits. He wants people to keep it brief. He wants yep. rational, right? So in that situation, you could, once you've pressed the sacred pause button, you can come to him and go, sweetie, so let your amiable come out. And you'd be, sweetie, so I need to let you know that that comment that you just made kind of tickled a nerve for me. And I want to tell you why. So here's what I heard, right? So here's what happens to us in communication. The first thing that we do is we hear or see something, right? Then here's what we do. We make a really creative story about it in our head. We make up the best story ever, right? It's my boots, right? I made up a story in my mind that my husband thinks that I look stupid in these boots and that I should probably go change and I don't look cute, right? I made up a great story in just about 2 seconds. Then we tap into how it makes us feel, like the moldy laundry. You're like, what did he just say? Right? The first thing you do is you heard. Yes. The story you made in your mind is.
Yeah, he's attacking my laundry service.
He doesn't think that I, right? And how it made you feel was a couple things. The first thing was like, oh, no, you didn't. How dare
Correct.
You? And that does not feel good at all. Do you realize what I do in a day? Right? This is all happening, right? So then you need, yes. So then you need to tell the other person what you need them to do about
it. Let me make
right?
a list
so
for you.
You might come up to him and you might say, okay, sweetie. So that comment, I know you probably didn't mean it the way it came out, but let me tell you what I heard, right? And so in the future, if we could, it'd be really nice if you could just drop that last part. Because that really hurts my feelings, right? Or that really upsets me, or right? And so then you get to a place where you guys can have some dialogue. And he may go, oh, well, sorry, but that's happened before. So I was just referencing something that's happened before. And then you're going to say, yeah, I know it's happened before, but it would be really nice if you could just consider how that makes me feel. Because this is how I'm receiving it. And then he can go, okay, I can do that, right? Or he'll go, well, I'll try not to do that. Right. And then you can say to him, no problem. But if that happens again, we'll probably be back at this conversation. Right. So.
Well, and that's so true because, you know, it's easy. Like one of the things that I was reading about like expressives too. And,
Yeah.
Is that they have like all of these ideas and they're like big, you know, they're like always wanting yep. to share these ideas. And that's me, right? I have 4 book ideas in my head at any good moment. Maybe 5, depending on the day. And so like when this pandemic happened and everything was happening, I got a little nutty one day in the store and I was like, you know, getting like green beans that we've never eaten before and, you know, different stuff. And my husband was like, I think you might be going a little nutty on me. And I was like, no, we will use this rice, you know, and, you know, but one of the things that I know that happens is I get these great ideas of things that I want to do, buy seeds to make my own garden in the back because I can see it happening. But I am not a follow through person all the time in terms of weeding said garden. It is not going to look like Martha Stewart's. It is not. And so my husband, my dear husband, will be like, Yeah, well, remember that time we had that one plot in the front of the yard and it was far away from the rest of the house and it just like kind of sprouted a life of its own, and that plot isn't there anymore. Like it's now grass again because that's what happened. And so he sees those things and he can see that I can't balance everything and that certain things aren't going to happen. And so he doesn't want to be the person that comes behind and has to, you know, do the extra work, whatever that work may be.
No.
But that's hard to swallow.
And you,
that's
you
hard
can't
to swallow
dampen
as
it.
An expressive,
you have to recognize,
you know?
You're excited the most about it. Thing you can do. And I know for my husband and I, it was a huge aha moment for him. Not for me, because remember, I was comfortable with this tool. I already knew what he was. But you can't tell an analytic, oh yeah, you're an analytic. You can't, they are a facts person. They have to see, you know, oh, well, I answered all these questions and that's my score. So that's must, you know what I mean? So, and then once they learn more about it, but with my husband, this was a huge aha moment because he realized that I'm not trying to be overly sensitive or, you know, overly domineering because I have expressive in me too. So if you attack me, I'll sit by for a minute and then I've had enough. That's enough. And expressive's like, I'm tapping in, girl. You know, my amiable's like, okay, you're in. And expressive comes out and is like, all right, knuckles cracked. Here we go. Right. So it's just recognizing those things in each other's styles and making small adjustments, right? Maybe you say you have no idea how far it would go with Eric to acknowledge, I know that I tend to ramble sometimes, right? If you go, I can say that. I've known you 34. I ramble too. I mean,
what? Okay, I'm just going to share this little tidbit. This is how it used to be with you and I. When we used to have slumber parties, we talked about this. I would be on the trundle bed. Tiff would be on her regular bed. And I would just be talking. And Tiff would have to say, she finally would say, okay, you need to stop talking. It's time for us to go to bed. And then I'd be like, okay. And then it was like,
you know,
lights out.
It's also the thing that people are drawn
to. So yeah,
right?
I do tend to ramble.
You know, even in high school, people were just drawn to you. And, you know, you were always so sincere in listening to people and offering good advice. And that responsiveness component about you, you were really able to acknowledge feelings and be relatable. And so there was a lot of grace that's shown because there's just such a genuineness about the way that you communicate. And that's why expressive communicators are so, people are just drawn to them because there's just this genuine enthusiasm and care and connection that they have with people by the way they communicate. They're super comfortable with emotion. And so they can communicate about it freely. And that's very freeing for people. And so, you know, little things with, you know, when we talk about, you know, communicating with an analytical, I touched on some of those, right? Don't overstate benefits. I mean, I would imagine that Eric is a stickler for being on time, right? He probably wants people to be brief in the way that they talk about things, emphasize rational aspects of what we're talking about. When I'm at work and I have an analytical person on my team that's coming in for a meeting, I don't start off with a bunch of small talk because what can happen with an analytical, and this is in the workspace, right? If I have an analytical on my team and I don't acknowledge that they communicate about the world differently than I do, they're going to walk out of my office every time feeling frustrated. They didn't either get enough accomplished, you know, they're exhausted because I talk too much. I mean, that you have to recognize those things. And if your end goal is to effectively communicate with somebody or people, you have to be willing to acknowledge your pitfalls and acknowledge other people's natural state to meet them there. You have to have a level of compromise in meeting them there if you want the communication to work. If you don't, keep doing what you're doing. But these things will work if you make small adjustments. So I'm much more formal in my speech with analytical communicators. I'm very succinct. I'm to the point. usually, because I know that I can ramble or I get overly excited about personal things, I will maybe make a list. I'll make a list of things that I want to make sure that we talk about, so that I can stay on track. And I know that that will be effective for communicating with an analytical. With drivers, similar things with a driver communicator. They do not, rambling is a pet peeve of a driver. It's like, get to the point already. Why? Because drivers communicate in a way to get things done, right? You want to speak quickly when you're talking with a driver communicator, like do not take 30 minutes to make your point, which is hard for me. I want to reinforce my point and, you know, and make sure everybody feels okay about it. And so I work on that. Be organized, make sure that you are organized in your thought process. So for you, you know, you appealing to Eric's communication style is, you know, kind of really be factual and have a plan, right? So when you come and have a conversation with him, you need to be organized in your thoughts so that you can clearly articulate it to him. And that's the language he will understand. He may get there at some point if you in another way, but the lights will come on if you meet him where his style is.
Because me just being excited about something,
leveraging him and acknowledging that he has different strengths than you will be huge, right? So Greg is, my husband is an analytic driver. And so I don't always pay attention to details. So I wanted to pot a bunch of plants and I got excited about it. And so I went out and I bought a bunch of potting soil and pots and plants, and I didn't research a lick about which plants are easy to stay alive and which are not. I just went out and they were pretty. Those, oh, that's a pretty plant. That one's pretty too. These would look pretty together, right? So guess what? They're all dead because, and so then my husband was like, you know, well, babe, this plant can't survive in direct sunlight. This plant, right? So someone like me, but he pays attention to the facts.
Farmer Greg.
He does research.
Farmer Greg.
He used to drive me bananas with YouTube. But the reason he watches YouTube is because he wants to look at the facts of how to do something. If he's doing a project, he watches a ton of different videos and puts together the facts that make sense, right? He's not whereas me, I would take a look at something and be like, oh, I could build this. it may or may not turn out, right? Because, I lean on him, right? I'm like, okay, this is what I want to do. Can you help me? Like, what am I missing? So when I have analytic communicators on my team, I lean on them big time. But you know what? They lean on me too. They get caught up in the details and I'm the person that can pull them out and go, what is the big picture here? What is your end goal? What is your end goal? And then they'll go, oh, I didn't think about that. My end goal is this. And I'm like, right. Okay, so let's back ourselves up into that. So it's leveraging each other's strengths and recognizing our own opportunities.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, Eric and I have talked about going on a trip and we both share wanting to, you know, drive west and go to some states that we've never seen. Now I wouldn't say that I would just like throw everybody in the back of the minivan and say, let's go. You know, there's certain things that I would want to make sure that are done, you know, like want to make sure the oil is checked, you know, make sure everything is safe on the vehicle and stuff. But I really wouldn't have a problem just saying, let's head to North Dakota and we'll stay on the way. We'll find a place to stay. And you know, that I wouldn't be scared about that. Whereas some people who yes. are more driver analytical would be like, no, we need to know exactly where we're staying tonight. Where are we driving to? What's the location that we're getting to? Where I'm like, let's go to North Dakota. Here it's really cool. They got a lot of great things to see. you know, and what can happen is, you know, the you might be like, why do you have to be such a downer? Like, we just want to have adventure.
Yes.
And, you know, and for them, it doesn't feel good. It's like, but I really like to know where we're going. So the two communication styles, like, you both want to go on an adventure, but one of you needs to have a little bit more of a scaffolding where the other person is just like, hey, you know, I'm not hitchhiking there. We're taking our family minivan. It's still safe, but, you know,
yeah,
so you can see where that
and the behavior,
basic example
who we, again, who
would
we
play
are is
into
how we communicate, and how we
life.
Communicate is what people see and what people hear. And then they make assessments about our behavior or our personalities. And sometimes that's really unfair, right? It's not a complete picture. And so in the example that you just used, right, you could be like, God, this person is such a drag. Like, okay, check, we're going here. We're going to drive 30 miles and then there's a rest stop on that, right? And then that person can feel like they're not being heard or what they're saying isn't valued, just that quick. And so,
yeah. And just to mention,
yeah.
Eric is not like that. I mean, usually when we go on trips, his amiable comes out, you know, it's a low number, but
absolutely,
it does come out because he wants to go and see and do things. But I could see where someone who is not like that would be much more, you know, and feel to be safe, you know, to have all those things. But, so I just still find it fascinating that you and I are so similar and that our husbands are so similar. And my husband also, chronic YouTube watcher. Always, I mean, always.
Yeah.
And you know, but it's paid off because, I mean, he saved us, you know, hundreds of dollars on his own vehicle, which isn't like a computerized, you know, crazy thing. So he can like make the changes, but, you know, he never took classes like learning that in high school. Like, it's all been what he's learned. And he's showing our children now, you know, like,
so let me ask you this, just as an
open
example,
the door. He and
do
my son
you
did that together.
Ever
like
have situations
I would have paid someone
with
to do that,
Eric, where you are both very resolute about a particular topic and you're talking over each other? So what's happened there is his driver is tapped in.
All the time.
And his something about what is being said is tickling his analytic. And his driver, remember, is his more assertive. It's his more assertive communication style. You live in expressive land, so you're ready at all times to game on, right? You're ready at all times to go there. You're not intimidated by it. But here's the other thing about you as an amiable communicator. You can tag in and you can go toe to toe with him in a conversation and over talking one another because they're both assertive communication styles. But the difference is on the, and not really the difference, but what's interesting about this is your secondary styles, right? So his secondary style is actually driver, but the analytic in him and the amiable in you. So after you have maybe a disagreement or you guys really had a heated conversation, afterwards, here's what happens. He taps into his reflection state, and his reflection state is analytical. He's thinking about, okay, let me think about, nope, that didn't make sense. I mean, she was being irrational. That's not right. What happens with you, because you're an amiable communicator, is you get your feelings hurt and you think about all of the things that made you feel bad and that you're frustrated by, right? So you have to recognize the importance of responsible communication, but bigger than that, understanding those tweaks that you can kind of make in the moment and recognize it. Like for you, sister, you may go, you know what? I kind of feel like I'm taking over the conversation right now and I need to listen to you more. So I'm going to just take a minute and I'm going to let you say what you need to say because I feel like I'm over talking you and I don't want to do that. Right? That will immediately neutralize his driver. It will neutralize his driver, and he will go to his natural state, which is analytical, because now he feels like you're being rational. He feels that, okay, I can work with this, right? You've tapped into your amiable. He feels like, okay, welcome back, rational Kristen. I can talk to you, right? and that's not even a disparagement. That can happen. And I can speak confidently to that, not just because I know you, but I'm an expressive communicator as well. And we can come across as a little irrational at times. It's just, it's truthful. So.
It's funny because when I look at the scoring, I also had I must have misadded, because you know math is not always my strong suit. I'm totaling, and I'm like, I must have missed someone somewhere along the way. But what I do have, like, he had a driver score of a 5, and I had a driver score of a 4. But he had like a 7 in analytical, where I had like a 1. Like, it should have been just probably a 0 for. But I think there's times, because, you know, one of the things about the drivers is that they're independent, they're decisive, and they're determined. And so I could see that 4 driver side of me is that way in many ways. And I remember when we were first married, I had a horse at that time, and we were first married. And before we were married, I would go to the farm and the barn after work every day and do my own thing. And I might not get home until 10:30 at night, whatever. And after we got married, I remember I went to the barn, and we didn't have cell phones and stuff, so there was really no communication. And I didn't come home until late at night. I was there working and chatting with other barn people, you know, surprise, surprise. But I got home and I was like, didn't you worry where I was? And he was like, well, you were at the barn, weren't you? And I was like, well, yeah, but I could have been dead in a ditch for all you knew. You know what I mean? So the way he, you know, I was, there's that conflict, right? There's that assumption that he wasn't caring about me because he wasn't like running to the door, like, oh my gosh, where were you? I was so worried about you, you know? And so there was that irrational Kristen showing up, you know, just tromping in with my boots on, my Tomb Raiders. And, so, but it's true, you know, but that independent part of me, you know, needing to, you know, it's just really interesting how it all flushes out. Well, I just want to thank you so much, Tiffany, for joining me today. And I think that we will slate up another episode for conflict, the way we show up for conflict, because I think that's fascinating with people that you're, you know, married to, or family, or, you know, friends and relationships, because that's a big area that I think is difficult. So thank you for that visual too. I'm going to see if I can order a sacred pause button.
I know.
Let's see if I can create something. I'm going to create it, because, you know, that expressive in me, I've already got it worked out. I know what it looks like.
Yeah.
But it's always so fun to spend time with you, and, we'll be spending lots more time together with topics that we have slated for the future. So is there anything that you wanted to add?
Kind of in closing, thank you so much. It's, I could spend a whole day with you. I could spend a whole year with you, actually. But one thing I want to say is this stuff always, it really does create a lot of questions. So one of the things that I just want to extend and offer up, and we can maybe attach this in, you know, with the assessment, is I want to provide, I have a professional email address. I'm working on my website and a lot of these tools that I'm trying to get out to just people generally, provide that contact information. So if people will listen to this and they want more information or they have questions, just reach out to me, because I'm passionate about this stuff. I believe in it. It works. And anything that I can do to help, I really do sincerely want to do that. So thanks again just so much for having me. And it was just a delight to spend time with you.
Oh, it's always my favorite time as well. Yeah, and I'm excited for your new website and for all the things that you're going to be able to help other people with, because you are a gift in how you're able to just analyze and talk through and give really great examples that are worldly, relatable, and downright funny. I mean, you're also just downright funny. You know, that's the expressive part of you.
Thank you, sister.
That I love so much. Also, please remember that if you like this podcast, please leave us some reviews. And if this episode sparked interest, please follow it and share it with others. Anybody who you think will be encouraged by it. We all communicate in one way or another, and we can all benefit from learning more about ourselves and those we love. It can also help break down barriers of communication that we often find ourselves blocked by, either professionally or relationally in families and loved ones. For more information about this topic and links to the free online quiz, as well as links to Dr. Dave Merrill's book and Tiffany's information and website, please go to kristinleeschindler.com and click on podcast. You will find the links under episode 4, The Communication Barrier. Once again, have a great day and thank you for joining us. We hope that what we talked about today will help you with building better communication with others in your life today and those you will meet tomorrow. Have a great day.